RSV. It's a major cause of lower respiratory tract infections, a major in the US and worldwide. Now, immunoprophylaxis is available for high-risk infants. There are currently no licensed RSV vaccines, although there are many vaccine candidates in development. And in this pre-vaccine era, it's important to understand RSV circulation as precisely as possible, because it might benefit vaccine effectiveness studies and might also inform the timing of vaccine delivery, for example. Now, RSV activity is monitored by CDC using data submitted to the National Respiratory and Enteric Virus Surveillance System, or NERVS. This is a passive and voluntary lab-based system which receives aggregate counts of RSV tests and detections each week from labs across the country. Reports are submitted by diagnostic category, so that's virus isolation by culture, antigen-based or PCR-based diagnostic tests. And reports on NERVS typically depict kind of weekly RSV tests, as we can see here with the yellow bars, overlaid with a percent positivity, or the blue line. Now, historically, antigen-based tests have been the most widely utilised and reported type of test for RSV. And so CDC has traditionally used these antigen-based tests to characterise RSV season. So the current method for characterising season for epidemiologic purposes is fairly well established. We use the antigen-based test reported to NERVS, and as shown here, we assess the percentage of weekly RSV tests that are positive for RSV, or the percent positivity. There's then an established threshold of 10% positivity, meaning that the RSV season starts when that 10% is exceeded and ends when it drops back down below 10%. Now, national season is thought to be typically fall through spring, as shown by this top blue line up here, and season onset and duration varies between US regions. And you can see that with Florida, for example, there's typically a very early season compared to other regions across the country. But while this antigen-based method has been in place for many years, PCR-based reports to NERVS have been increasing over the last decade, and there's been kind of growing interest in how we should be using and interpreting these data, the PCR-based data, towards seasonality. And the full extent of PCR-based testing across the country is unknown. The implications it might have, or the impact it might have for seasonality, is also unknown. So we started this analysis with kind of three main questions. Firstly, what is the extent of PCR-based reporting across the US? Can this 10% positivity season threshold be applied to PCR-based data? And if not, what methods can be used to characterize RSV season with PCR-based reports? And so to address the first question, we reviewed national RSV data reported to NERVS during July 2005 to June 2015. And we limited our analysis to consistent reporters, which we define as any lab that reported an average of 10 or more tests per week annually for at least 30 weeks of the year. Now, we assessed the RSV reporters, which are the graph on the left, and RSV tests on the right, broken that down by diagnostic category. Now, the PCR-based reports are the orange lines. Oops, sorry, I got a bit loud. And you can see from both graphs that across the decade, both the annual number of reporters and the annual number of tests have increased. Now, in the most recent surveillance year, actually, there were more PCR tests reported than any other diagnostic type. Now, in that same surveillance year, so that's 2014 to 2015, PCR reporters were spread across the country. And in fact, labs that consistently reported PCR were identified in 37 states, whereas labs that consistently reported antigen were found in 32. So given the extent of PCR reporting across the country, we felt that the reports could provide valuable input into characterising RSV season. So to see if we could apply this 10% season threshold to PCR, we assessed weekly percent positivity across six recent surveillance years. Now, PCR data here on the left and the antigen data on the right. And you can see that the percent positivity for PCR are notably lower than for antigen, both in terms of the peak and at the baseline. And we think this is likely because the PCR tests include respiratory virus panels, which target several respiratory viruses, meaning that the RSV denominator for PCR is kind of artificially inflated, bringing down that RSV percent positivity. So as a result, when you overlay that 10% threshold, it sits pretty high on the PCR curve, and generates really what would be like a considerably shorter season. And because of this difference, it was also felt that PCR and antigen-based reports should be assessed separately as we continued. So we next explored a variety of other possible approaches for characterising season with the PCR data. We assessed national reports and we assessed reports by census region, although today I'm just going to present the national data. We explored the use of RSV detections alone versus percent positivity, because we were concerned that with PCR panels, that the panels that were kind of detected other viruses would be in our RSV denominator, and that would could possibly influence the RSV percent positivity we were reading. And we also explored retrospective and near real-time approaches. So in the end, we developed three new methods. The first we developed was what we're calling the retrospective slope 10 or RS10 method. And now, given the kind of imminent development of new RSV vaccines and products, this approach was designed to reflect the weekly changes as sensitively and consistently as possible across the seasons. So we use weekly RSV detections, and what we do is we take a moving average of those detections and then normalize them to a season peak of 1,000. And so you can see on the graph that this normalization essentially puts every year on the same scale and brings that peak up to the same height, which allows us then to compare detections between seasons and also as well between regions. And we determined the onset, which is the solid circles, you can see those there, it's probably a bit small maybe, we defined as basically the increase between one week and the next, or the slope of that curve, when that increase exceeded 10. And then season offset was basically when those detections dropped back below what we saw at onset. So to evaluate the method, we compared the RS10 season characteristics against just raw RSV detection, so no adjustments there. And these graphs depict PCR detections from two of the 6 years we analysed. Now these vertical lines represent the RS10 season onset and offset. And we can see that for onset, the method consistently identified the beginning of like a sustained rise in detections. For comparison, these red curves are the national antigen detections. And these vertical lines are the season onset and offset derived from the antigen data using the traditional 10% method. And you can see here that the RS10 detected increases much more sensitively than the traditional method. For further comparison to the traditional method, the RS10 season onset was typically earlier and the duration was typically longer, ranging from 26 to 31 weeks. And furthermore, the proportion of annual detections that were captured within season, that's captured between onset week and offset week, was also higher. So RS10 captured 96 to 98% of annual detections within season, whereas the traditional method captured between 82 and 94%. But more important really than the magnitude of these measures is that RS10 was more consistent between seasons than the traditional method, as we can see from the standard deviations there. Okay, so just some key features from RS10. The method does have limitations to consider. The use of detections alone, rather than percent positivity, means that we're no longer accounting for the number of tests done each week. And so it's important to know that the underlying testing and reporting is coming in year-round. And secondly, because this method normalizes detections against the season peak, it can only be used retrospectively, not in real-time. Now, while this approach obviously fits CDC's purposes fairly well, we do appreciate that other health jurisdictions might have other aims, and the luxury of year-round testing and reporting might not be there, and it also might be needed, a near real-time approximation might be needed. And so because of this, we developed two other approaches for such considerations. So we developed a 10-fold baseline, or 10FB, which also uses detections, but provides a near real-time approximation to RS10. And we developed a 3% positivity rule, or 3PP, for settings without year-round testing and reporting. And I'll keep these descriptions brief just in the interest of time, but I'm happy to sort of stay around at the end of the session if anyone would like more detail on the methods. So for 10FB, we essentially measure weekly detections relative to a pre-season baseline. And when those detections are tenfold higher, we call that season onset. And this method fit the raw data well, though not as sensitively as the retrospective method. And then for 3PP, we're going back to using RSV percent positivity, so a bit like the traditional antigen method, but using a simple threshold of 3% rather than 10%, meaning that the season begins once that 3% is exceeded. And this method performed fairly well too, although with some variation between years. Now, of course, both of these methods have limitations as well. For 10FB, the use of detections alone requires that year-round testing and reporting. And robust reporting early in the surveillance year is especially important for establishing a reliable pre-season baseline. For 3PP, which contains a testing denominator, we have to be aware that this denominator might be influenced by testing for other respiratory viruses. And also for 3PP, having an absolute threshold of 10% might not be precise for all seasons and regions. So for comparison, here are the national RSV season durations derived from all four approaches across the six surveillance years analysed. Now typically, RS10 was the most sensitive, as you can see from the wider black bars. And in general, PCR-based methods, so that's the black, blue and green bars, typically yielded longer seasons than the traditional method, which are the red bars. And the PCR methods also consistently captured more annual detections within a season. So to summarise, PCR-based reports are increasingly relevant for RSV surveillance and characterising RSV season. Now, because PCR reports will contain results from virus panels, the PCR and antigen-based report should be assessed separately. And that traditional 10% season threshold cannot be applied to the PCR data. So we developed new approaches for characterising season with these PCR data. Each approach has strengths and limitations. RS10, which is the retrospective method, was the most sensitive and consistent PCR-based method. And because of this, CDC is hoping and intending to use this RS10 method in future surveillance years for characterising national and regional RSV season for epidemiologic purposes. Although I will say, of course, that as RSV diagnostics continue to evolve, you know, we do intend and hope to re-evaluate these methods along with that. Just very briefly, I wanted to mention the immunoprophylaxis for RSV. Now, based on seasonality, these seasonality estimates, they might at some point contribute to decision-making, perhaps, towards immunoprophylaxis use, but those considerations will also need to account for RSV hospitalizations and cost-effectiveness. So, finally, I just wanted to point out a few considerations for smaller public health jurisdictions. So these PCR-based methods were developed using the national data and the census region data. And while we hope that these methods might provide some possible options for characterising data from smaller jurisdictions, we do acknowledge that more locally tailored approaches might better reflect local activity. For example, if you're using an approach that measures detections against a pre-season baseline, a locally tailored baseline should be considered. Indeed, these different methods, given their strengths and limitations, might be appropriate for different settings, and local testing and reporting practices should be understood before applying these methods. So I just want to thank NERV reporters and also my co-authors, in particular Amber Haynes and Jason Van Gardner, who've done a lot of work towards this. Thank you.
Quick question.
Yes, okay. So the importance of seasonality determination has to do, the importance of seasonality has to do with the pre-approval of prophylactic treatment, right?
is one aim for that, I would say.
But at the state level, that's what we're most interested in. That's what that drives the demand for that data from us. For us, the season threshold isn't going above 10% once, but rather 10% twice in consecutive weeks,
yes.
Which means that by the time that we get the information at the earliest, we can say that the season started 3 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. So do you feel that any one of the, and that's not really great, right? That means that there's an entire 3 weeks of the season that kids aren't able to access the care that they need when they need that care. Right? That's pretty bad. And it means that on the tail end, the good news is they can access it for 3 weeks when they don't really need the care. Do you think that any one of these methods could maybe address, like maybe move it from 2 weeks to maybe your RS10 method, we could use it to just 1 week, so we would slow that...
Reduce the lag.
That lag is just so long, right? That 3 weeks is a month.
I would say that for the percent positivity, what often we see, and I would guess even more so at the local level, you see quite a bit of jumping up and down. And you're absolutely right. What I kind of glazed over here were the real specifics of our onset weeks. The 10% really is the first of two consecutive weeks above 10%. That same rule applies for the 3%. And the reason for that is because sometimes early in the season, you see a bit of a blip, then it comes back down. And so is it really season? So for percent positivity, I would say that it can be a bit iffy. Of course, you know, locally tailored methods, go ahead. If that meets your needs and it's working, great. The tenfold baseline, that was something we were seeing to be a little bit smoother and in terms of a near real-time approach for kind of safety purposes or, you know, I think we've said kind of second week above 10, but of all of them, that's probably the one that we could consider bringing back to just one, because that was the one that in most of our work seemed to come a bit smoother. That would still, you know, if there's a bit of a lag, that there might still be a lag in there, because we're talking about kind of a moving average that we've done to keep that smooth. But that might be one we could look into in trying to reduce that lag for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.